Medics. This is a war game yet again. It's an invitation for medical doctors to actually make medicine scientific. And the whole idea behind this story or this essay, this paper, as it is to be presented later on this year, is that whenever something is called scientific, you will find that mathematics plays a very important part in the formulation which is used in that discipline of science. In medicine, it is very surprising that no mathematics is used, and it is as if medical doctors don't want to know mathematics, they don't want to understand mathematics, they think that mathematics has nothing to do with the body, but yet we know that from our body, that's from our mind, we were able to conceive mathematics, which means that mathematics is in fact a kind of expression from our body, and that logic is in that sense an essence of our body. So that's why I describe this topic of mathematics, that we can seek how mathematics is essential, crucial, decisive, determining for the functioning of our body. I am presenting this paper as an invitation to mathematicians for the simple reason that we need to have a different and more integrated view on mathematics in order to be able to understand our body as a mathematical process or a mathematical processor. It is evident that our body is a mathematical processor because we digest information in the same way as we digest food. In the food we can see that we chew it physically, then we dissolve it in the stomach with acids chemically, then with enzymes in the duodenum we digest it further, that's electromagnetic, and then it is taken across the membrane of the gut, it's taken across the gut lining, where it informs us. So we go from physics to chemistry to electromagnetism to informatics in the digestion of the food. That same pattern we can see in our body at many, many levels. So it is only logical, in a very mathematical sense, that we are dealing with a four-dimensional process or a four-dimensional processor. And that in that sense, our body is not just an information processor, but we could better look at it as a supercomputer, with the understanding that every cell in our body is a central processing unit, a CPU, because every cell uses cosmic information to work with atomic nuclear forces, and the cell actually decides on how to do that. So the cells not only work with atomic nuclear forces, but they also work with freedom of choice. And actually, there's a very simple link between the freedom of choice and the quantum process, because it simply means that in the quantum process, in quantum physics, what you're dealing with is the flip of a quantum, which can be also called the change of phase. And the change of phase has the effect that you change the polarity, you change the magnetic poles, you change the side of the interface, and thereby you then change your involvement in the environment. So our cells are able to do that. And the cell division decision is simply an execution of that. So when the cells divide, they multiply, and there you already see that we are at the core of this exploration of mathematics. Because when you look into the body, you can see that there are all kind of mathematical principles at play, which we can easily refer to, such as the example of cell division equals cell multiplication. But what we need is to show that these are not just a glib use of words. What is necessary is to show that the cell actually really is an equation sign in the process which we call differentiation and integration. And yes, doctors do talk about cell differentiation, but why is it that they do not realize that this is actually the mathematical operation of differential calculus as it was already formulated by Isaac Newton? Why is it that when they use the word cell differentiation, they forget that it must have the mathematical counterpart of cell integration? Why is it that they do not see that once this zygote, the first cell of your body, divides, you have these ongoing series of divisions, but on the other side, out of the sexual fusion of your ancestors, you see that every time two cells integrate. So when you look at the cell, the first cell in your body, the zygote, you see that on the one cell after the zygote has been formed, there is this process of differentiation, which produces more and more cells by the principle of division equals multiplication. But on the other side, with your two parents and their two parents and their two parents each, you see that there is this process of integration. But that means that the cell is at the core of an equation sign. The equation between integration, out of which cell fusion led to the forming of the zygote, and the other side of the equation side, where cell fission then leads to the differentiation of the cells in forming the organs which together form the body. There are many, many examples of mathematical and logical principles at play in the body. So what I do in that paper, in that presentation, is to illustrate a couple of them. In that conference, I have been given space for 5 pages of print, and that is not quite enough, because there are so many examples of mathematical principles at work in our body. So I just mentioned a few of them, and I will do that now too, because what I want to do, what I seek to elicit, is that people will grasp the notion that yes, mathematics is at the core of our body, and isn't that great fun? Let's get some mathematicians together and let's see how we can understand the body as a mathematical principle, as a supercomputer. Because then we can see that there are so many examples which we can describe separately by different mathematical metaphors or different mathematical models, but we need to bring them all together in one integrated mathematical understanding. And evidently my hope is that by integrating that kind of mathematics in our body, we can also integrate all of these forms of mathematics in science, that means also in engineering, that means also in social engineering, which is politics, and that means that we can then integrate what people do with respect to planet Earth. So the title of mathematics is also in a way the quest for a mathematical formulation of the principle of creating paradise. Now, as you know, when people differentiate or separate their understanding from what goes on around them, they end up in a hell. It's called differentiational isolation. And once they realize that the boundary by which they seal themselves off, or they close themselves off, isolate themselves, called helling off, is also the connection to the environment, then automatically they find that the, as I normally say, that the hell, the walls of hells are the gate to paradise. It's just that you need to understand how the cell membrane is also the singularity by which the cells can connect and form more cells, and life can unfold from life. That too is a mathematical principle. So what I seek is to invite people to look at the connectedness of everything in the universe and to the connectedness of humans to everything on the planet by simply inviting them to look for the connectedness of everything in our body. And so I give a couple of examples. A simple example is that of your limbs. You have four kinds of joints, and at the shoulder, for example, everything that happens at the shoulder goes straight into the body. What happens at the elbow, you can sort of row away from it, turn away from it, as a kind of fluid motion. What happens at the wrist? Now, if somebody holds you with a wrist, you can extend it and contract it, and the same expansion and contraction as you would have in gases. And when you look at the fingers, you can actually hold on to things and let go of things. And so that is what where you actually would have what the alchemist would call a fire element to make or break kind of decisions at the fingertips. So you have fire at the fingers, you have air at the wrist, you have water at the elbow, and you have earth at the shoulder. When you look at the principles, earth, water, air, and fire, you can see that earth is three-dimensional, water is two-dimensional, determined by the surface. Air is one-dimensional, expansion, contraction, linear motion. And fire is zero-dimensional, yes or no contact. In the same way, you can see that nervous impulses from the environment to the brain first go to a cell, which is one zero-dimensional, then it goes through one-dimensional neuron, it goes to the two-dimensional plexus, goes into the three-dimensional brain, and so you then have the same transition through four dimensions. A simple metaphor for the transition to four dimensions is the vortex. With a vortex in the bathtub, you pull the plug of the bathtub, the volume of the water, three-dimensional, flows from the surface of the water, two-dimensional, along the streamline of the vortex, one-dimensional, through the sinkhole of the bathtub plug, which has been removed, zero-dimensional. When you look at the body, you can see that from mouth to anus, there is one pipeline. It's a bit like a vacuum cleaner hose. It's a tube, but that means that the body as a whole has the shape of a torus, a donut. And the shape of the torus is connected to the shape of the egg, is connected to the shape of the vortex, as has been described by Lawrence Edwards. So that means that our body as a whole is a turning point for whatever you do within your environment. So you're actually a navigator of a vortex in what you do in your life. That's not only what happens in your body as a whole, but it also happens at every cell. So when you look at a cell, you might see that it is just a little ball, but from the point of view of topology, a ball will always have a north pole and a south pole. And that's also what you see when the cell divides, that the north pole and the south pole of the one first cell now is unfolded as two cells, and their north pole and south pole must connect. So it's a bit as if there are batteries being lined up with a plus and a minus sides so that they can together form a larger battery. And in that way, you can see that all of the cells in the body are aligned. But that alignment of the cells in the body forms that same four-dimensional vortex pattern, because you can see that it goes from a seed to a line to a plane to a volume. We call that then the cellular system. So the first cell is already the cellular system, but every cell after that is part of that whole system too. But by the cell division, which is the same as the multiplication, the mathematics at work, you can then see that the signs line up by that principle of the topological north and south. South poles needing to line up, and that is where the cells then form these lines of, say, the equivalent of where a microbe would then be seen to grow out into a fungus, or where a seed would be seen to grow out into a plant, or where you can go from a point to a line, from zero-dimensional to one-dimensional, back to the mathematics. In the body, you can then see that it unfolds from the vegetative system all these arteries and nerves and all these pipelines and strands in the body into the organic or animal system, which has a circulation. Actually, the circulation is around the gut. So it's as if you have a stick, the gut, the line, with a circle around it. In many cultures, you can find that as a symbol of the penis and the vagina, the line and the circle. And with that circle, you can see that you have a plane at the next step of the vortex with a different kind of connectedness. Suddenly, the line connects back onto itself, which the antique Greeks described by the snake biting its own tail, called the Ouroboros. It's a continuity of cycles. And so then in the body, you can see that from the seed to the plant to the animal, it goes to the human. And in the human, you can see that the head actually mirrors the body, and that the body works with the physical aspect of the environment, and the head works predominantly with the information aspect of the environment. And so they are, say, the plus and minus part of the equation, in which the neck is the sorting station for how do you fit it in from one side to the other and the other way around. Actually, in the neck, you can see that that the head was plunged out from the body, because the head, actually the sides of the nerves is swapped. So you can see that it actually went through the zero point of a vortex in putting the head outside of the body. Once you understand that this is all taking place, then you can also see that in our body, we are actually processing information at very many different levels. For example, the holy bone equates to the information processing of, say, a cell in the bone or a bone cell, or actually at the same level of processing or understanding of a microbe in the earth. And the next level is that of the gut, which is the equivalent of that of the plant in nature. And when you look at the body, you can actually see that the plant is built in, that the lungs are the leaves and the gut are the roots. When you look at the chest, the heart, there you can see the pump of this organic circulation, where the blood pumps around, and actually the seasons of the environment are built into the body, and as a result can be regulated to suit the needs of the body, so we can change our internal climate. And we do that going from the holy bone to the hara in the belly, to the heart in the chest, to the head with the brain. In the brain we add the information from the further environment so that we can better integrate what happens in the heart, so that that can better nourish and support and feed the vegetative system of the gut, which is necessary so that all of the cells in the body can be fed and nourished. What I aim for is the invitation to medical doctors, but probably more to mathematicians, to be intrigued by this relationship between, say, the physics of the vortex and the mathematics of the equation sign and the principles of, say, medicine and biology in the body. What I seek to achieve, what I hope to achieve, is that mathematicians will be thralled and thrilled with this discovery that biology is biologic, and that's actually all based on the principles of the equation sign, and that in the body you can actually see how this equation sign is operated, that at the foundation it is the information that moves the cell, and that there is no causality because there is only creation. And then when you go one level further, when you go from the level of consciousness to the level of energy, then you can see that at the level of energy, which is the electromagnetic field in a body, you have this direct interchange between the electric field, which is, say, physical or in the physical, and the magnetic field, which is metaphysical or outside of the physical. And at the atomic level in the body, you can see that the electric and the magnetic are very much in balance, and they're interactive, interchangeable. So there is no causality, but the one conditions the other, and the other conditions the one. It is a mutuality of interfacing stability. So that's why you can actually see how the equation sign is put in place in our body. And then when you go one level further, you go from the regulatory system, which is electromagnetic, to the physiology, which is the circulation process of the cell communication within the body. Then you suddenly see that there is ongoing cycles and circulation, which you would call the water element, and that is where you can see that the body actually can dip a hand in the water and move it, and that is and put it back in the water, and that's what is normally is called the balance equation. So there too, there is no causality, but there is a mutuality or reciprocity, a balance equation. There is no causality, but intercausality at that level. And it's only when you go down to the physical level of the body anatomy, where things have been structured, that you can see that there is a form of causality. In that sense, as I already implied by the metaphor in between, there are four kinds of causality, and the type of causality which is most often quoted, of course, gives effect that only exists at the physical level. And if you look in reality, at the physical level is as thick as the crust on the earth, and everything below the crust of the earth is already physiological. So the physical cause gives effect logic is only as thick as the crust of the earth, which is just one of the planets in the solar system, which is just one of the stars in the whole of the universe. So when you look at the kind of causality which are at the moment sort of considered, you see that this is not a very complete model, and we actually need to get a better understanding of how this works. And that's where I then often refer to the kind of causality. Cause gives effect is when you pick up a stone and put it somewhere else. That is just a physical level, cause is effect. At the chemical level, there's the balance equation, which, as I said, is as if you dip your hand in water, scoop out a bit of water, and then put it somewhere else in the water. What is the cause, what's the effect? The water has just been displaced, but for the water, it doesn't make much of a difference. For your hand, if you drank from it, yes or no, it might make a difference. So the balance equation is not a cause and effect kind of equation. The third level of the, let's say, gas kind of causality is where you are dealing with the electromagnetic interplay as you find it in all of the stars. Electricity gives magnetism, magnetism gives electricity, and those are the Maxwell equations, and there is no cause and effect at that level because it is always invertible. You can turn it around. And when you go to the most fundamental level, when you go away from the material, in the quantum space, you can see that a quantum change is the cause and the effect. So I need to mention this because when we're talking about mathematics, we're not just talking about the mathematics, but we're also talking about the logic. We're not just talking about calculus, but we're also talking about informatics. Because actually our body is not a physical product, it is a colony of living cells which are all conscious, which can all operate atomic nuclear forces, and which all use cosmic information in order to do so. So they're all conscious, they communicate, they take decisions, and they're able to attune their decisions together. So that is where we then, in a way, are already looking at a networked computer, where individual cells can do their individual computations and calculations, but they can connect their results in a complex network of computers, which is the organic system. And out of that comes a kind of holographic computational array, which we then call our consciousness in our body. But as said, the body is the consciousness, because the cells, by their division, do their actions. That is mediated by the regulatory system. The consequence thereof is the physiology, which then produces the anatomy. So we really need to think the other way around. And that is also why I'm doing this invitation for the medical doctors, but also the biologists and the therapists in general, to look at the biologic and to look for the logic, say the universal logic, and also the mathematical logic. So that by the mathematical logic, which is always based on what happens at the interface and how is the interface redefined by what you're doing, that is the core of logic. Logic is the game book of what happens when change takes place and in how many dimensions the change can take place. So once you understand that that's the foundation of logic, then you can also understand that logic is the foundation of mathematics. You can understand that mathematics is one of very many languages, and science is one of those. And then you can also understand that we use those languages in our body. So that is where we can then see that that science is in a way a mental construct by which we can communicate about things, but something becomes scientific, let's say, to the extent that it has become mathematical, that we can actually address the logic of the language that we can use, and that we can redefine the logic and thus the kind of mathematics that we use in the equation. So then we can position science at the level of mind in our body, and the science is then operated in our body. It is the mind in our body, so the body is the result of what happens there. In science we would call that the engineering. But the other side of science is where you can then get to the soul or the essence of what science is looking for, and that is where we would look for the use of mathematics. And if you really want to understand how it connects to the universe as a whole, then you need to actually link it to the logic. So in that sense, we then can see that engineering is the, say, the body of science, science is the mind of science, mathematics is the soul of science, and logic is the spirit of science. And what I seek to do with this invitation of mathematics is to invite doctors, mathematicians, and anybody to look for the deeper meaning that is encoded in our body. Our body is not a happenstance thing. Our body is very logical, as I showed by the examples. For one cell to divide and form organs which are in balance with each other, with the skin, with the vocal cords by which we can communicate with each other, that is not a chance thing. That comes from a very specific logic, which is in fact universal. So the better we understand that universal logic, and the more we can recognize the forms of mathematics by which we can describe it, the more automatically we will have a science of medicine. There's a great need for a science of medicine, that we actually understand what we are doing and also understand what we should not be doing. And then we can actually have a, let's say, medical engineering as the counterpart of the medical science, as a result of which we can actually work with the body in such a way that we can predictably foresee the results. But that will be possible only at the moment that doctors realize that we cannot work with the body anatomy unless we understand what we are doing and what needs to be done at the level of the physiology. But whatever we do there is meaningless and useless if we do not know how the physiology depends on and relies on the regulatory system. So everything we do must match with the regulatory system, and it must actually link the regulatory system of the body to what happens in the environment. Now that's where the homeopathy and the acupuncture come into play. But the regulatory system needs to fit what you're doing in the larger perspective of what's going on around you. So it's the information of what happens around you, say the world image, that needs to compute with respect to the self-image. And that's what spiritual healing is doing. So then, by a science of medicine, we actually have a handle on improving the medicine and the medical techniques that exist now immensely, so that we can actually surpass that level of symptomatic repair offered by Western medicine. We can link that by the physiological restoration as it is offered by Eastern medicine. We can therein make use of the restoration of the integration in the environment as provided by the Far Eastern acupuncture and homeopathic medical techniques. And that, of course, requires that what you are doing fits in with what the universe is doing, and what the Far West offers in the spiritual healing techniques. So these four forms of healthcare are actually the counterparts of the classical science, relativity science, quantum science, and field theory of science. And so by offering the idea of mathematics, we can then fundamentally provide a foundation of medicine. And as you might know from the other story, mathematics is simply an application of the science of life. So once you understand the science of life, the notion of mathematics is just as logical as this concept of mathemusics. And mathemusics is its realization that as cells communicate and as cells have cell cycles, then all of these cell cycles interact as a pattern of rhythms within rhythms, and that means that we must be able to understand it in terms of the theory and the notation of music. So I've just taken that one step further. Music notation, or the mathematics of cycles, which in mathematics would be called complex number theory, or Fourier analysis, or the Minkowski calculus, which is the foundation of relativity theory, is only one part of the picture. So now we can extend that picture and include the forms, other forms of mathematics as well, and thereby not only come to a complete understanding of our body, an integrated understanding of our body, but also an integrated understanding of mathematics, as a result of which we can see how mathematics actually can help us understand life, consciousness, love, and there's a fourth one. Life, love, health, and consciousness. Those are the four blind spots of science, and in the science of life they are resolved, and mathematics is actually the solution for that. So that concludes my synopsis of this notion of mathematics.